Hi, everybody. This is the second call in our Letting Go series. Today is April 9th, 2020, and we're going to begin as we always do in Shavasana. So find a comfortable place where you can lie down and just take this time for yourself. Whatever else your day has been, maybe you've been moving from one thing to another, attending to family members, attending to your business. Maybe you've been on the go. Maybe your day is just getting started. Wherever you are in your day, take some time just to be here. Lying down, support beneath your head so that your chin is lower than the forehead. And bend the knees so you can extend out through that low back, make space through the low back, and relax the legs, either out in that, just on the ground, comfortable distance apart, so that the legs and hips can be at ease. If you have low back issues, it's a great idea to put either a rolled blanket beneath the thighs, or if you need more support so the low back is comfortable, you can place the calves up on the couch or up on a chair so that your low back can release. So take the time to get the supports that you need. And let me add one more thing too. If you're finding that your energy is kind of flighty all over the place these days, you can try this today. Place some weight on top of you somewhere. There's different ways to get grounded by placing weight on top of you. You could place a folded blanket on your belly. If your legs are outstretched, you could place a folded blanket or a bolster or even if you've got a weight like a sandbag on top of your thighs, right? Make sure that your low back is comfortable. Make sure you're comfortable, but placing weight. If your legs are up on a couch, for instance, you could place some weight on the shins. You could even place some weight on the hands beside you, right? So remember first to open the chest, dig the elbows in, and release the arms down. And then sometimes the hands are tense, right? So maybe, especially these days, you know, fingers outstretched and tense. If the hands aren't curling, it can help those hands to release by placing some weights on them. It might be, if you've got some sandbags at home, those are ideal. Just onto the hands, you could place a blanket, a heavier pillow, anything that's a weight you could place on top of the hands. So as we place things on top of us gently, and it's fine if they're weighty, so long as it's comfortable, it helps us to get grounded. It helps us to find that connection with the earth beneath us. It helps us to pause and be here. So finding that those supports or those weights on top of you in some way, shape, or form, you can practice with that today so you can feel grounded. Close your eyes if you haven't already. And let the eyes sink back toward the back brain. There's also a grounding in that. Letting that our sight, you know, we're often like pulling the things that we're seeing into us. We're just grasping at things. It's raga, it's attachment from last week's call. So just ease with the eyes, not needing to see things, not even needing to grasp to hear things. Let the ears recede back toward the back brain, the sense of hearing. So eyes and ears, imagine them meeting at a point of the back brain, drawing inward. Imagine the whole body releasing to the earth. Nothing you need to hang on to here. Just let go. And as you do so, or after just this release, notice if there's still places where you're holding on. Any spots of tension, any place where it feels like there's compacted energy, tightness, unease. Just scan for that. And with gentleness, with loving kindness, just notice what is. No need to push it away or be upset that it's there. You're just noticing, observing. And then take the place where there's the greatest tension, tightness, unease, and send the breath there. Allow yourself to breathe into that spot. Know that it's okay to let that go. Attention is just not needed here. Breathe into that spot, let it go. Find that next place of tension. Where else are you holding? Is it the jaw? Is it the shoulders, the neck, throat, maybe the back of the scalp? Maybe it's in the legs, the feet, the hands. Where else are you holding? Send the breath to that spot and let it go. Again, feel the whole body releasing to the earth. Notice how there's more possibility of release as you let those spots of tension go. And then just notice how gentle it is, how delightful it is, how wonderful it is to have a time to stop, press pause, and just noticing the rhythm of your own breath today. Have you checked in with the breath yet today? What's your breath like now? No judgment, just noticing. No need to change it, just notice. Pay attention. What's this breath like? What's this part of this breath like? What's this inhalation like? What's this exhalation like? Not an analyzing head about it, feel it. Become aware of it. Watch the breath. Let there be ease here as you watch the inhalations, watch the exhalations. Let each breath bring greater ease, greater presence, greater openness and heart, each breath. Watching the breath. No judgment. Just pure awareness. Let all else fall away. And knowing that soon you'll be coming out of Shavasana, it begins just with a thought that soon you will move. Allow the breath to deepen. Start to move in any way that feels good to you. And slowly bend the knees. Roll onto your right side. Take your time here. When you open the eyes, let the gaze be soft, unfocused, no pulling the light in, just allowing the light to enter in passively. And keeping the gaze toward the ground, use your hands to slowly press yourself up to sitting. Return to our virtual circle, camera on, presence in this moment, here and now, practicing that each week we gather so we can be here. Hi, Barb. Great to see you. Teresa, so great to see you. Hi, Jasmine. Great to see you. As you're popping onto the call visually, let's hear from one or two of you, training that one-pointed attention on the things that we want. It's a practice. What did you love in this Shavasana today? Who would like to begin? What was yummy for you here? Yeah, Barb, thank you.
Well, the idea of adding weight was new to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any weights available, but it's something I'm going to consider.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad. Thanks for paying attention to that part of it. And there's so many more pieces of Shavasana that we can learn. And it's kind of, I don't want to call them tips and tricks. That sounds too light. Somehow they're deeply transformative, but sometimes it's something just very small that will change the quality of our Shavasana and therefore change. It can entirely transform the quality of our moments and the quality of our day. So thank you for noticing that. Thank you. Who would like to go next? What did you love today in your Shavasana? Mary Kay, thank you.
I had a real clear sense of my shoulder blades connecting with the earth. Mm. And then there was the possibility that my upper back could also connect.
Mm.
That was really special.
I love that, Mary Kay, your minute attention to the details of what's going on, just that awareness of what's happening. And when we can be aware in Shavasana at that minute level, we can so much more easily pay attention to the fluctuations in another human being, whether we're speaking to them from stage, we're in a strategy session with them, or meeting them, networking. We attune that awareness, right, by starting right inside ourselves with Shavasana. Love that. Let's hear from one more of you. Who would like to go next? What did you observe that you loved today? Yeah, thanks, Jasmine.
So I jumped on the call late, getting my wife her meeting on time. And as I was carrying my laptop up the stairs, I connected to the call and everyone's in Shavasana and I'm like hurrying to my desk. And then I tuned into your words for a second and I just heard the words non-judgment. And that's something that I've really been working on lately. And so I immediately was just like, okay, I'm literally watching myself run up the stairs on my screen right now. Let me turn my video off. Let me calm down. It's okay that I'm missing Shavasana. I will take my deep breaths. I know how to focus myself. And it was a process of letting go of the fact that I wasn't here, even though like I made it a point today that I was going to make it Shavasana. And so I had to let that go. And you're just the phrase that I heard of non-judgment just really helped me like calm down and get into my workspace and get into a space where even though I wasn't here for the full Shavasana, I was still feel like I'm able to be fully focused and present.
Love that, Jasmine. Thank you. Non-judgment. I'm watching myself calm down. I mean, there were many things that you shared there, but those three key pieces, non-judgment, I'm watching myself calm down. And that could almost be a one mantra for what Shavasana is all about, because we watch the mind and the yogis talk about the witness consciousness. I can so easily think that I'm all these thoughts running around. And then I think I'm a crazy person. I think that I'm less than I actually am. I identify with the thoughts, but they came from somebody else. So somebody else told me, you're not enough. Somebody else told me, you should do more. Somebody else told me, you know, this is the most important thing, not that other thing that you actually, you know, blah, 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 blah. And when we can just allow that to pass through, We watch those thoughts like Jasmine watching herself on the screen. Know that thoughts just come and go. They're like waves in the ocean. That I don't have to think I am that thought. Then all of a sudden I'm in a place of choice. That's when I can start to choose my story, my company, my vision, my world. Once I can begin to unhook from all those thoughts and see from the repeated practice that they are not me. Jasmine, and she's watching herself run over there. It's like, that's not who Jasmine is at her core. It's just how what's happening in the moment. But it's not who she actually is. The freedom in recognizing that, this company called Story Freedom, right? The freedom in recognizing that and the ability to pause and make a different decision is life and world changing. And it's to know that as a theory, like I'm not the thoughts that I think, who cares? It doesn't do anything. It's nice. It's a good intellectual concept. It's helpful to know that if we didn't know that before, but it's experiential. If you understand what I mean by that, that if I can actually experience that there's a thought going through and that I'm not that thought in that moment, it's different than just intellectually kind of knowing that, which doesn't move anything. If you understood that, raise your hand, because it's an important distinction. Yeah, okay, so most of you, and some of you not. So let me just say again, just the fact that I know that I'm not my thoughts, it's just an idea, and it may not even touch my life yet, because I have the idea. It's good that I know that. I might have before thought that I am those thoughts. And somebody else fed me those thoughts before and I didn't even notice it. They fed me those stories. So it's good to know that. But that's my head knowledge. It hasn't moved into the cells yet. It hasn't moved into the body. It hasn't had the power to make a difference in our lives yet. In Shavasana, when we actually experience it, so we see, we watch a thought going through and we let it go. Oh, that's not me. I'm going to start to know by experience that I'm not all those thoughts passing through. I'm the one behind. Like, if I were the thoughts, then who's the one behind watching the thoughts? Who is that person? That's, you know, I can't be those thoughts going through. They're more like the clouds in the sky. I'm watching the clouds. When I know that experientially, the next time I have a thought going through saying, I'm unworthy, you got to do more, you know, COVID-19 is going to destroy my life or my family, or, you know, I'm so scared, or blah, 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 blah. All these things, there's so much noise out there too in the world right now that could just press on us. When I know that's not even me, and that I can pause and connect with a deeper part of who I am, that's amazing power. It's experiential. It's not just intellectual knowledge. If you got that this time around, raise your hand. Did that make sense? Yes, now I'm seeing it. Yes, fantastic. So this is one of the huge things that Shavasana teaches us by the practice of it. So it's another layer that I've never really taught. That's the best that I've ever articulated that ever in this community in 10 years, I would say. So if you got that, fantastic. That's life and world changing. All right. I'd love to hear from a couple of you. It was so fun last week hearing your wins. I think bubbling over with these amazing wins. I mean, Tracy, some of you are like, I've got a new affiliate. I got two more calls this afternoon. And just like brimming over with this and that servant leader. I haven't forgotten. You said that, right? A servant leader that you're doing and becoming and witnessing and letting go of the cat, you know, like so many things. It's like, Tracy, there's so many beautiful wins that were articulated last time. Let's hear from one or two of you. What's rolling for you now? So important always. Even heightened importance in this world so that we're carving out what we want and noticing it, noticing when it's happening. It could be that, hey, I took one breath in Shavasana, or I didn't and I'm okay with that. That's a great win, Jasmine, right? Non-judgment. So let's hear from one or two of you. Who would like to go first? What's a win you'd like to share? Yeah, thanks, Wendy.
It's not a win. I have a follow-up question to that last little teaching that you gave. So sure. You said that like we are not our thoughts, but at the same time, I feel like what I'm learning is that my thoughts create my world.
Yes.
Can you help me understand how those two connect?
Yeah, thank you. And the first thing I want to say about that, Wendy, that's a great question. And so happy to take that question here. So first, I want to say that paradox creates possibility. There's all kinds of paradoxes in our world. Stories are filled with paradox. For example, this is the worst of times, because the opening of a book, right? But it so describes our times now. This is the worst of times. This is the best of times right now. How many believe that to be so? both things at once or have touched that even once before. All right, so the world is complex, more than just one linear story. It's like, it is this, right? So we know that just from that one example. I love my daughter, and sometimes I just hate her in the moment, right? It's like, but I love her to bits, right? She can push my buttons more than anybody, you know? So the world is filled with paradox, and Wendy's underlined one of them. It's like, how can I not be my thoughts, but my thoughts create my world? That's great. It seems like that can't both be true at once, but they are both true, right? So my thoughts create my world. And for most people out there in the world, is creating it. I would say this to be, you know, for many, many people out there in the world, is creating life by default. It's creating it unconsciously. Those old stories is a big part of what my PhD was about. So here it is in a few words. One piece of the work that I did and tried to understand for many years, and it has direct applications to our lives. So these thoughts, these old stories, we're being bombarded by them, what our family thinks we are, what our religion thinks we are, what we've grown up with, what our friends are doing, and they impinge on us. They tell us who we are. So all these stories, and then we think we are that, and then we go out and try to do that, and we mimic what other people have said, and it's just a real mess. There is thoughts creating our world by default in a way that's a, like, not do. Let's not do that. So if you understood that piece, like, and that's a not, don't want that, raise your hand. And if you think that there's a lot of people running on that kind of autopilot, that you're noticing it more and more, even ourselves sometimes, right, raise your hand. Right. So clearly, our thoughts create our world. Now, when we can tap into, when we start to understand then that we are not our thoughts, that I'm not all those old stories that run through me, that I don't have, that I have a choice, is the essential message in Anatomy of an Empowering Story. Stories are everywhere inside us. People are saying them. It's in our world, our religions, our family, our how we brush our teeth. We're thinking, we're creating stories all the time and we don't know it, right? So when I can start to see that those thoughts can pass through like clouds in the sky, and then I get to choose. I don't have to think that I am that thought passing through, but maybe a thought passes through. If I hang on to it, it's going to cause me suffering no matter what. Let's say my mom said I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, okay? Maybe you had a different mother than that, so it doesn't matter whether it was that one or the other one. Somebody said, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. But we learned last time, raga, attachment. I hang on to that. I need to make sure that I am. If I'm not that, everything falls apart. Even that empowering thought, that empowering story, it doesn't help me. It actually does the opposite. That's something I got to live up to. Oh, no, what if I fall? You know, right? And or maybe somebody said, hey, you know, you're whatever the insult is, stupid, you can't do it, you'll never make it. And like Bill Bartman, the billionaire with heart, that's what his future sister-in-law said at one point. And he just used that as fuel. He taped it on his computer and it's like, I'll show you, right? Became one version of an empowering story for him. So these thoughts pass through, these stories pass through. When we do Shavasana, we get a better chance at seeing what's passing through. And then we can actually start to chart out our own course. If I know that I'm not all these thoughts passing through, I start to be able to have, I've very rarely said this word here in this community, but you guys ask great questions and I know you're able to hear this. So I don't often bring the jargon of what I used to teach in university classes here. There's like technical language because it's not helpful. I'm using it all the time to help us here, but I don't usually bring in this technical language because so what, who cares? But in response to Wendy's question, I want to bring in one word for you. And it's what I spend a lot of time studying at the university. It's a word called agency. Because sometimes we think we're acting and we're actually making choices and we're not making choices. We're just on autopilot with all these thoughts and all these old stories and somebody else's story. And if we don't even know it's happening, even less so, I think I'm my own agent. I think I'm actually doing something, but I'm just a combination of all of this guck. A lot of that going on out there in this COVID-19 world right now. I'm a product of all the news out there. I'm a product of fear. I'm a product of what my family thinks I should be doing or not doing, blah, 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 blah. Agency. I'll give you, I've never ever done this before. So you can let me know afterwards if this is helpful to you. Okay. Agency at the university, the way we used to use that, the way we use that technical term, is like, let me tell you, and you won't like the definition at first, and then I'll try to explain to you what it means. Agency, the ability to act on social institutions and discourses, in order to create change, in order to be able to act on our world. That's a more technical definition than I ever give these, you know, you guys, but you guys are ready to hear this. Wendy's question was so astute, I wanted to address it at the highest level, okay? And for that, I need a bit of technical language. Agency, the ability to act on social discourses, institutions. What that means is social discourses, all that stuff people are saying out there, right? And the ways they talk about it, they think it must be that way. It creates our world, right? And institutions, like I can actually shift how the university works. I can shift how health works. You know, the happy coffee, like I'd shift the way that people think about coffee and what it, how it matters in people's lives, for instance, right? Starbucks did it about, you know, years ago, and then another coffee revolution among us, for instance, right? So agency, that I can actually make a difference, not in that kind of robotic way, like a lot of people out there where there's all this stuff and they think they're that and then they make a choice, but it's not a real choice. What is it for me to actually have agency, which is a big part of what we're teaching behind the scenes all year long, but I don't usually use that technical language. How can I actually make a choice? Remember from last year, it's like all these people, when I told that story last week of when I was a young, I hadn't even finished my master's yet. I had a bachelor's degree and got my first college teaching job. Nobody does that, right? Who hires that person? But I got hired and I was just 20 something and there were no other 20 something young women at that college. Why did that happen? Well, I had enough of the background from studying and learning about this stuff at the university. I just knew, well, I don't have to, and luckily I there was some unknowing too. I didn't know how things were supposed to be. So luckily I just did it this way because I didn't know you're not supposed to do that. Those thoughts hadn't been bombarded in me enough, right? And so I could do something that was really outside the box. I could do something that actually came from me, do something that was actually creative. So this agency is really super powerful for us as entrepreneurs. And so Wendy's dual question, like how can it be that, you know, I'm not my thoughts, you know, but my thoughts create my world. Both of those things are true. And when we understand both of those to be true, we understand how we can have agency, but not in that everyday way that people think is so, we can create the most creative companies. We can do the most outside the box things. We don't have to do what other people are doing. We also don't have to push away what other people are doing. We might want to take on this piece of it because we start to have so much more freedom. We don't have to do what's out there. We can hear the thoughts coming through and we can make a choice. All right. Then we're not caught in this pushing and pulling, like, I need this. No, I don't want that. And it's like, that's exhausting. And that's what most entrepreneurs often are caught up in. And this is like a big waste of time and energy, right? And so like 4 months later, they're done everything right and got all the structures and something still isn't happening because there's no agency there. There's no person there behind the decisions and the movements and that there's no CEO in the company, right? So that was a much longer, I wasn't expecting to answer questions here. And I was just really jazzed by the question. And so that was a deeper dive question and more technical language from the university than I've ever brought into this community in 10 years, I would say. No, maybe once before. So I want to see if that was helpful to you. Here's an experiment, right? If that was helpful to you to have that framework, it's like, how can I have agency in this world, in my company, within my family, like, and that I can start to see how those thoughts are playing the way that Wendy said. If that was helpful to you, I'm not attached to the answer, or it would cause me suffering, right? But if that was a helpful framework for you, even if you don't know how to apply it yet, but it was a helpful framework to see how those thoughts are either hindering us or helping us, and how we can carve out our own way, raise your hand. I think that's helpful to you. Yeah, wow. Okay, fantastic. So thanks for that question, Wendy. I love that. Let's head over to back to wins. So, and let me see. I thought I saw a hand up. Tracy, did you have your hand up or were you just like scratching your nose or something? No, okay. So wins, who would like to share a win? Mary Kay, thank you.
Well, my win is a new way of teaching that I'm going to try. I've never done it before. And I kind of came up with it in the conversation with a client. It's not going to be video coaching. And I'm going to be on the phone with her when she rides her horse. But I'm not going to be able to see anything. She's going to give me feedback on what's happening. And I wouldn't do this with just anyone because she's got to have the sensitivity. And I've worked with her over the past year. She gave me an example and she said that, and she got so excited she like went to pick up something or drink, and then she came back and she was all lit up about it. And this is one reason she loves it. She says, I hate it when people watch me ride. I won't be seen.
Ah, genius. Beautiful. I love this, Mary Kay, and a beautiful adaptation of what we were talking about last time, letting go, hanging on to forms, hanging on to who I think I am, hanging on. Yogis say causes suffering every single time. So let go of the way other people are doing it. Let go of how it has to come up and allow for that creativity. Allow for something new to happen. Take a chance, right? And have a lot more fun in the process of it. I love that. Beautiful win, and so much in line with what we were talking about last time in the first of the Letting Go series. This is like, sometimes it sounds like it's like, how would that be practical? Letting go, yeah, whatever. I've heard that before. This is eminently practical. And in a very everyday sense in our companies and in our world. So love that. Thanks, Mary Kay. Beautiful. Let's hear at least one more win. Who has one that they'd like to share? Yeah, Tracy. It was you. It was just, I was reading your future self.
actually, I was going like this because I didn't really understand 100% the last part when you said, you know, does everybody understand? I kind of went,
What it was. And thank you for that. I love that in the yoga tradition, satya, truthfulness. And if you haven't got it yet, same thing. Like there's a good example of where raga from last week, attachment could come in. It's like, oh no, I'm not detecting that in you, but for somebody it might go, oh no, I didn't get it. That's probably the most important thing. That's the only thing. If I don't get that, my company's going to fall apart, you know, but I'm not detecting any of you in that. And it will come in through the back window. It will come in a couple months from now. It'll come in the next comments in different words that will land for you, and there'll be a different piece that's for you in the call. So thank you for that freeze. I'm sure that frees up a lot of people here, right? Because it might be that or something else. It's like, I didn't get it. It's okay, because we're going to come to it around about a different way, and it's all good. And I love the energy. I'm not seeing any kind of, you know, raga attachment in you, which would have caused suffering. There's just, so thank you for that. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Okay,
so my wins. So I had signed up one affiliate and I had two more that I were planning. Well, those have kind of went through the wayside, and another one came upon and said she was going to sign up. But another win was, you know, I've sent out all these samples and now I'm getting feedback, positive feedback that people are like, well, thank you so much. That came to me on a day that I really needed it.
Mm.
And I'm so glad you sent me that. I've never tried that. And I'm just getting a lot of positive feedback from it. So I you know, I consider that, you know, touching, you know, getting in touch with my customers.
Mm.
It's really hard to get in touch with 335 customers. And I felt this was really a big win for me to just to send this out to everybody and just see what, and I did have one gal that, it's interesting. I was talking to my sister and telling her, she was helping me getting the last 25 samples out. And the very last one, I said, you know, she quit buying. And then she just messaged me and said, her husband, is it okay if her husband signs up with this other friend that I had signed up as an affiliate? And I said, that's fine. That's no big deal. So she hadn't been so I knew her husband was buying from someone else. And so I said, you know, having this conversation with my sister, do you think I should send her this sample? And she says, no, she doesn't buy from you anymore. You know, her husband's buying. And I said, you know, but she was still a customer. So I think I'm going to. And I did hear from her, and she was so thankful that I sent her the sample and that she hadn't tried those things that I'd sent her. So I thought that was, you know, I've had a lot of positive feedback on that kind of stuff.
Tracy, this is so beautiful. And can you hear the non-attachment? It's like no raga there, no hanging on. It's like, wow. And no pushing away too. We're going to talk about that today, Devasia. So just it's all good. And I send it out and it brings her joy. And you don't know where that's going to lead. And the next person might, I mean, she might refer that next person to you. Maybe somebody she knows is going to be your next best friend. You don't like, just right. don't know how that work is going. Maybe somebody's going to invite you in. Somebody she knows is going to invite you in to speak. Something is going to move from that, and not like, where's my stuff, but just allowing for the possibility. And so I love that, Tracy. And I love what you said too about there was a one person and there were two other people. Well, they didn't come through, but this other one came in.
Yeah.
And so allowing for the unexpected. And if we're attached, it's like, but it had to be those people. And then we get all balled up. Mm-hmm. And then not possible to be there for that next person who was the surprise person who maybe looked like, and I don't know if it was so for you, but who looked unlikely. It doesn't, you didn't even know them the day before or whatever it is.
Right.
So allowing for the magic to come in. Really, really great, Tracy.
Yeah.
There's one piece that you said, are you okay if I just play with, yeah. if we play with one piece? All right. Cause there was one thing that you said, and was anybody, did anybody know? There's one thing that Tracy said that I would like to tweak just a little bit. Anybody know what it is? Tracy, do you know what it is? It slips by so quickly. And this is a really great example of our stories come from other people, and that we are not those thoughts that pass through. Okay. So, and they come in just these little tiny ways. Lindsay, you think you know?
Well, I just heard her say when she started, well, it's not really a win, but.
Oh, well, I totally missed that one. I love that. I didn't even catch that one. So you'll start to notice it more and more and more. I was like, oh, wait. Yeah, got it. It's not a win, but. So that wasn't even the one that I heard. And Tracy, thanks for letting us play. I didn't even ask you, but your energy, it looks like permission to me. So I didn't even ask. Thank you. Oh, no, I did ask. That's right. So, but I didn't ask about, can we ask other people? But, you know, you were just glowing there. So I took that as permission, I guess. Thank you. So here's the thing that I heard. Here's the thing, you know, it just slipped by. It was like, well, to reach out to 335 customers, it's hard. Now the win, there were all those wins built on that. And I love that. Everything you said, I mean, so beautiful. But can you hear that's like one of those, you know, we're not our thoughts and my thoughts create my world. So Tracy sat that, and I'm only going to, this is like ninja work. This is nuance level. This is like leg up yoga move, right? And if Tracy, you know, if you were, if Tracy was earlier on this Love Your Words journey, I wouldn't go there. Can you see that? Because Tracy might go, oh man, you know, because if Tracy's editor was stronger, she might go, man, I thought I did all these things right. And then it's like, whoa, and she'd go, I know, you know. But I'm not detecting that in Tracy. She's bigger than that. She's stronger than that. She has more experience than that. So then we can go to the kind of ninja subtle level, right? And then it's, okay, if that, all the wins are built on the foundation of, yes, but we all know, because that's what we've been told, because everybody says so we know it to be true. It's because it's the thought floating through the sky that it's hard to reach out to 335 people, then everything that I build on that still has its foundation. Well, we all know, and that one didn't work, but that's because it's hard to reach out to, right?
Yeah.
And so what would it be to have freedom in and around that thought? What would it be to go, and again, we can't always bounce to the opposite. Well, it's really easy. And Tracy doesn't even believe that. That's just a happy face on empty gas gauge, right? Can't say, well, I know it's really easy. That's not going to be authentic. But it might be something as simple a shift as, you know, I used to say, you can put I used to in front of something that's not so empowering.
Okay.
I used to say it's hard to reach out to 335 people. Can you hear already a bit of freedom in that?
I love
but
that.
But now I'm not so sure. Do you think you could get behind that statement, Tracy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was a kind of maybe. Yeah.
I was kind of hearing I used to say, but I'm not sure. I'm a little confused about the, but I'm not sure.
Well, the reason I added that I'm not so sure, well, I used to say that it's hard to reach out to 335 people, but now I'm not so sure because I'm reaching out to them and it seems to be pretty easy right now.
Okay.
And I'm reaching out to part of them and that's okay. And I'm starting with some of them and I'm getting this great feedback from, do you know? So it's just like bring in a little more breath in there and bring in a little more freedom from that one small shift.
Okay.
And if you just add in front of something, well, I used to, because it's not even like, do you think, Tracy, now that we've pointed that out, do you really think that it absolutely for sure, without a doubt, always in every case is always unbelievably hard to reach out to 335 people? I'm exaggerating, but to make the point, is that your true belief?
Yes and no.
Right. See, so she's starting to have movement in it. It used to be a very solid belief.
Yeah.
But now it's starting to shift.
Mm-hmm.
So why yes and yeah, no? And we're going to move on in just a second, but this is really, really
Well, if I just helpful. Took it, if I just took it a little at a time.
Aha. Uh-huh. It's not hard to reach out to 335 people, or it's less hard than I used to think. Or maybe I can learn to reach out to 335 people with more ease than I think, or, you know, because I know that I can just reach out to a few people at a time. Then we have everything that's built on top of that from a very different foundation. Well, I know it's easier than it used to be, and, right, so that Tracy doesn't have to work so hard. Helpful? How many of you find that you're working too hard? And like, and it stems from just even the way that, yes, the way that we talk about things and that we don't even know. So as long as Tracy is echoing what other people have told her that it's hard, and maybe even her own experience says that it's told her that, but we can tell a different story from that experience, because you also have experience having reached out to some of them, even just recently. So to let your words and your stories catch up with the actual reality even, and seeing a different piece of that reality in order to have agency, in order to be able to act and you know, make a difference, right? And not have to regurgitate.
Would that be what you refer to as head trash?
Yeah, and you know, head trash, some people call it head trash. I call it the editor. Some people call it the itty bitty shitty committee. I'm so sorry for that. You know, like, whatever you want to call it, that stuff that doesn't serve us, like, let's let it go. And that's why we do Shavasana too, because we start to even see what's in there. And sometimes, like one of our alumni, she said, Michelle, that it actually usually comes in as my next greatest thought. Now, that's an unusual one, right? Because often our next greatest thought is empowering. But for her, it was like, well, whatever I was doing before was bad because I got to do this thing and then this thing and then this thing. That's how it was affecting her. So noticing, and the Shavasana allows us to notice so we can make a change. Yeah, Barb, I saw your hand.
When Tracy said it was difficult to reach out to 335 people, I immediately thought of, oh, she's thinking about phone calling them and that would be difficult. But she found a different way to reach out to them.
Yeah. And, you know, I could send them all one email. I could send them all I could ask them all to go over to a Facebook post, or I could, you know, there's lots of different ways I could do it. So starting to have some wiggle room in there. Okay. Really, really awesome. This win part went on with questions and comments, and I love this. I'd love to hear just from one or two of you, one thing, so we can just put a little bow on this, consolidate this briefly, so like we can move on to some other things. One thing that you learned, one nugget for you, just a sentence or two, that you can take away and implement in your company and your world. Who would like to share something that you've learned from this piece of our call? It could have been your Shavasana, could be, yeah, Lindsay, go ahead.
Mine actually just came from the talk with Tracy, because I, of course, being in the business industry and being a teammate of hers, took it as it's a lot of work, but it's not necessarily hard work. Doing it is easy. It's just a lot to do because there's a lot of customers. And how, for me, what I took from that is how often is it just cumbersome? Like there's a lot of things that need to be done, but in our own mind, we call it hard, and then that stops us from doing it.
Yeah, that underlines so much.
The hard things.
Right, the language that we use, right? And it's like, it's really hard or even cumbersome for me. And different words will resonate differently for people. What's it doing inside your body? And you'll have a better idea of that the more and more you do Shavasana and get in touch with that, right? So cumbersome to me feels heavy, but it might not to you. For me, I might say something like, you know, it's not hard. There's just a lot of details and I can always outsource parts of that. You know, like that phrase to me would be helpful. My job is to do only the things only I can do. And if there's a lot of details and maybe it's even repetitive, oh, great. That means I can outsource it. Somebody else could be doing parts of that. So, you know, playing with the words that are at the root of our beliefs and how we structure the world, because we're, you know, even just in that little phrase, it's hard to reach out to 335 people. It tells a lot about in the moment how I'm structuring the world. There's only one of me and there's all of them. There's a lot to do. And sometimes I'm doing it all alone. And these might or might not be Tracy's. We'd have to dig in further, right? But there's only certain ways to reach out to people, and other ways they probably won't hear me. And so it's a whole entire world view. Our stories can construct our worlds, right? Hidden in that little phrase. And when we find some wiggle, when we notice where that is, that disempowering story, and we start to find some wiggle room in that, all of a sudden a million new things open up that could be possible, that have us not working so hard, that have us, you know, having the support that we need in our company, outsourcing that piece, where if I just say it's hard, well, I can't outsource it because this is hard work and who's going to want to do that? So now I'm going to try to find the person who's going to do that, but it's heavy and cumbersome. So let me go put an ad out there for this heavy and cumbersome work to see how like it spirals, right? Or no, it's getting easier and easier to do that. I'm getting more and more ideas about it, and I know I can outsource it, and it's kind of fun to play to see how I can reach those people. Okay, let's hear one more aha from this piece, and then we're going to move on to the next segment. It's an unexpected bonus to this call. I didn't know I'd be teaching about agency today. Jasmine, go ahead.
So I feel what you were just saying about different words resonating with different people. I know it used to be that phrase that you gave Tracy to, you know, move this limiting belief that her language was uncovering, like really, really resonated with me. And I just have down, like, I know it used to be equals my defeating limiting beliefs mantra. And now I want to challenge myself that anything that I feel is hard or anything that I dread or anything like that, like just stick until it actually becomes true. Just stick, I know it used to be hard or whatever I'm actually feeling. And then eventually it will not feel hard and it'll actually be true that it used to be this way.
Yes, thank you for hearing that. It's really, really powerful. It used to be, but, and in the very structure of that sentence, because our beliefs and our way, the way we use our world, the way we see our world is structured right into our sentences. And if I say, for instance, to my daughter, well, it'd be nice if you could stay up late, but which side of the sentence is going to win? There's no way that night she's going to stay up late, you know, if she was a kid, right? So, you know, this part of the sentence that goes, it used to be, or it's something, 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 but the but signals the turn and that side of the sentence is going to win, right? It used to be, but, and then whatever I do, like just find a little bit more wiggle room there. And one more thing that I want to underline here, and then we're going to move on to another teaching piece. And then Mary Kay's posted some wonderful questions we're going to get to. So that phrase, limiting belief. Now in Jasmine's world, that might be a very empowering phrase, limiting belief. And I know she works with that phrase. Different things for different people. I don't actually use, you won't hear me say that word limiting belief very often, because I think the way that it's often used out there, it's as though I have just this little belief, like a pocket of, like here's just a belief and it's just a thing, okay? So I believe that, it's just a limiting belief that the world is flat. Let's say I had a limiting belief that the world is flat, to give a ridiculous example. It's one that came up in me right now, all right? So it's as though, okay, I just remove that little belief and the structure of me and who I think I am and my world stays the same. And I just pull out those beliefs, plunk in a different one, and the structure itself doesn't really change. So people have a small idea of then what a limiting belief is, and you just pull them out, plug this one in. I do affirmations, I put a vision board, and it's all going to be better. But what that doesn't get to is the power of story and how our minds are structured as story. Because that limiting belief, and I gave the ridiculous example of the world is flat, I just pull that out and plunk something else in. If I believe the world is flat, then I don't believe that science and technology is there to help us. I don't believe that when I'm getting, you know, maybe I have this belief that airplanes will matter now. Maybe I might have an belief that airplanes don't exist since they're not flying so much anymore, right? But, you know, I believe that airplanes don't exist. I think that, maybe I have conspiracy theories, you know, that there's, because some people, I don't know much about the flat earth society, right? But that there's all these people conspiring to teach us an untruth. And so it comes with a whole complex web of a way of being in the world that rips away my agency, because it's doing all this stuff. It has a cascade effect on all parts of it. It's how I brush my teeth, everything changes, right? So you won't hear me saying that limiting belief. Instead, it's like, what's the empowering story? What's the disempowering story? Because story is multifaceted, and it has a ripple, a huge ripple effect, and there's paradox and there's contradiction. There's all kinds of, you know, layers and levels in it. So just something about how I use language. And if Jasmine uses that word limiting belief, she can use it in powerful ways. I'm not saying she can't, but just the way that I use language here, you won't hear me say that phrase very often. Okay, love that. Thank you, Jasmine. Just that it used to be. It used to be. Thank you. All right. Next step. Next step. So last week we were talking about the Zacks. Who remembers the Zacks? I just told you a little bit from Dr. Seuss, but do you remember what the Zacks were doing last week? Who remembers that? From Dr. Seuss.
If okay, I remember so right, they like, one was going north, one always went north and one always went south, and they met in the middle, and they, neither one of them would give way, and so they just got stuck in the middle.
Yes, thank you for reminding us of raga, attachment. I always go north, I always go south. I'm attached, and we think, I like that thing about the Zacks, because it's so graphic, it's so, you know, and now that we're reminded of it, you know, easy to see them just stuck there, and then the world just builds a highway over top of them, and they're just buried, you know, because they think, oh, the world will have to stand still because I'm doing this, you know, whole view of the world in and around that. And, oh, look, nobody cares, they're just standing there, the world gets built over top of them, raga, attachment. And we do this in more ways than we think. And so I think of Steve's example about, okay, well, should I do the calls at this time? And it's not that Steve was demonstrating that, but he could have been, right? I have to do the call on the right day, because if it's not, you know, I know one of those days, Monday through Sunday, is the right day. And if I get the wrong one, everything falls apart. And what if I get the wrong one because more people are going to come at this time than that time, and all that hanging on if he was doing it. And sometimes it's at subtle levels. It's going to cause him suffering. The yogis say every single time. They don't say, well, take it as a truth. They say, go ahead and try it that way and see how your life feels, right? So, and then we saw that freedom in Steve going like, maybe 2 will show up here, maybe 20 will show up here. The one with 2 might even be better. And so no, that raga, letting go. Raga is one of the kleshas in the Yoga Sutras. It's the fetters. It's the things that cause suffering. And today, in this letting go series, I wanted to give you one more Sanskrit word from the yogis, right? And that's, okay, thanks, Jasmine. And that's devesha. These are 2 of the kleshas. We went through them very quickly in our Yoga for Entrepreneurs Day, but I'm slowing it down in this Letting Go series so we can actually see how they work in our lives, so we can actually start to unpack them, because sometimes we think we're letting go and we're not, and it's actually devesha. It's kind of like a near friend or enemy. What do the Buddhists say? Near enemy, something like that. I'm not a Buddhist, so I'm not getting their language right, maybe. But it's a close kin to it, but it's the one that doesn't help us. Letting go, I just let that thing go, you know, off into the world. Like Tracy gave us a good example of that. It's like, I don't need to make sure that it's always my customer, or else, you know, otherwise the world's going to, no, I'm just going to send her that. The ease and breath in that. And, but sometimes we mistake that for devesha. Devesha, so the kleshas, avidya, asmita, raga, devesha. So I'm giving you the 3rd and 4th klesha, the 3rd and 4th thing that causes us to suffer, according to the yogis. Raga, hanging on. Devesha, pushing away. And after this week, you're going to notice more and more people, and sometimes inside yourself, the play of pushing and pulling that runs a whole bunch of our world. And let me see. Wow, this example is coming up, and my editor is going, don't use that example. That one's too serious. That one might be political. That one might be, right? So there's some part of me right in this moment going, don't use that. I'm pushing it away. If I keep pushing like that, it's going to cause me suffering. So I would say, if you're pushing something away, right, then go ahead and bring it in. It's okay. So the example that came up for me is happened lifetimes ago. I remember I was still on the cruise ship. And I was there with my friend Jennifer, and we had just heard that Trump had shut down all flights from Europe for 30 days. And so, you know, does that action happen just out of, like, why does that action happen? There's all kinds of world reasons that can happen, but there's also, it's like, you guys don't come near us, right? Because you might bring something that can push, right? What's the energetic reason behind it? And I'm not saying I know Trump's mind. I don't know, right? But whatever, when there's a pushing away that happens, right? Or even in the languaging, some of you may have heard this. And again, like, I don't care what side you are on the political spectrum. It's not about that. You could pick any politician or any person doing stuff like this, all right? That's why my editor didn't want to go there. I don't care about the politics of it. But I did read somewhere, somehow, at first that Donald Trump was calling it the a Chinese virus or something, right? And inside that, can you hear the pushing away? That's those guys. That's them. Go away. That doesn't have to do with us. And that kind of energetic pushing away, I'm not saying have this policy or that policy. It's nothing like that. But anytime there's a pushing away, not us, not you, right? That the yogis say that that's going to cause suffering. So let me give you another example that might be helpful here, because it happens in very everyday ways. Let's say Tracy says, that's okay. She went over to that, you know, her husband's the person. And even though I'd done all this work, could be hanging on, right? That would cause her suffering, right? Even though I'd done all this work, maybe for her, it really is okay. She lets that person go. All good. But sometimes inside us, we kind of play tricks with ourselves without knowing it. And Tracy, okay, if I give you, use you as an example here, thank you. Tracy could have quite a different attitude, but doesn't know she has that attitude inside her. And Shavasana will tell us, right? Tracy could have the attitude of Devasia and she doesn't even know it, because she knows that letting go is good. She knows that's a good thing to do. She knows that that will bring her good things in her business, whatever. So she goes, fine, no problem. I don't care. Go ahead. Can you hear the difference in that? That's Devasia. She's not let it go. She's pushed her away. If Tracy were stuck in Devasia, there's no way she would have sent that gift. Fine, go away, whatever. Good on you. We're better off without you. Push, push, right? And we do it in more subtle ways than we know. We don't always know we're doing it. But I wanted to give you both of these words to empower you this week to start noticing raga, I'm hanging on to it, Devasia, I'm pushing away. And it masks itself as like, aren't I great at letting go? I don't care if you go away. I don't care if you go have coffee with that other person. I don't care if you right? Don't sign up. We don't, all this pushing that goes on inside of us. You know, another example, Steve has, you know, 20 people show up for one and two people for another in his sections, right? That he's in these, in this new endeavor that he has, right? And so one person shows up in the group of 20 and they say, oh, no, I heard the other group only had two and I don't really want to be here with 20. Like I haven't got my free money's worth, right? And so Steve goes, that's fine. You know, you don't need to be here at all. Right. And when Steve does that, that pushing away is going to come back and bite him some way, somehow, the yogis say. Right. And so can we, you know, let go and bless? What is it to actually let go and bless and neither hang on to that person? No, you have to stay, because don't you see the 20 is better? It could be 20. It could be two, whatever, because, and it's out of my attachment because I need it. And then I don't have the clarity. I can't even see what that other person needs. Go away. You're telling me that, you know, you don't like who I am, or or you don't like blah, 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 whatever it is. Sometimes it's inside ourselves, right? I see that thing in that other person. It drives me nuts. And actually, I wanted to share something with you. It's that really illustrates what this Devasia is, because it happens in subtle ways for entrepreneurs. I'll redo this in just a second, and because I want you to watch for this this week. And it's rampant right now. It's like, you know, COVID-19, go away, right? Because I can't have that in my world, so I pretend that it's not there. Jasmine was talking about that a couple of weeks ago. It's like either people pushing it away, pretending it's not there, or happy face on empty gas gauge or something, because there's no just allowing to what is to be. I got to pull something toward me. It's like, you know, I have to have all the masks and all the toilet paper, and right? Do you know? Or I'm pushing it away. It's like, you have a mask on and I'm in an airport right now. It's like, get away from me. You're probably, now more people have masks, but for, you know, like you're something bad. And again, I'm not saying don't step away from that person, but I'm saying that forceful energy inside us drains energy and has me focused there even more and doesn't allow me the freedom to even make a choice or figure out and take a next step. And I want to give you I'll read something to you in a moment from Pema Chodron, but I want to give you a subtle example, because the yogis say, if we're human, the kleshas are part of us. You know, so am I above this raga and devesha? No, ask my daughter, happens to me, ask my team, because I'm honest with them. If I've had a, you know, if I've had one of those days, I'm like, okay, I know it's not the best part of me, but, right? It's, you know, shouldn't even be speaking this, right? Happens to all of us. It's okay. Like, breathe. It's okay if it's happening inside you, right? We want to notice when it's happening. That's the thing. And then we can start to unplug it. So I want to give you a subtle example from myself that happened. I was, recently I was at a virtual event and there was another speaker and it was a fabulous talk and people loved it. But what I found was there was something inside me that was not right. I'm like, this is a great, great talk and I'm getting lots of value from it. Why don't I like this talk? It would be really easy to then point a finger at, well, there was something wrong with that. You know, even though all that was nice, that was wrong and I didn't like that and whatever. It'd be really easy to do that. And I could probably even gather steam behind people and say, you know, or whatever, and start getting sides. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that, but people do that. Instead, I started looking inside and I went, well, what is it? There's something that I'm pushing away in this message. And it was draining my energy. And the thing that I was pushing away is, here's how the talk ended up sounding to me. Like, it sounded like, well, you got to do this, and then you got to do that, and then you got to do that, and then you got to do that. And then this one thing leads to these 10 other things that you got to do, like as though we were going to get there through the force of our individual unitary action. It's not how I see the world. And then also there's something about, well, then I'm supposed to do all these things. It's just making me tired. So if I was not aware of the play of devesha inside people, I wouldn't have as quickly noticed what was going on. Oh, this is just devesha. This is just, it's hatred. It's pushing away. It's, you know, and we have that pull inside us more than we think. You know, attachment and aversion, hatred, pushing away. I don't want to hear this because that means I'm going to have to do something. That means I'm going to have to like outwork and it's going to like blow up my own worldview. So you and your message are wrong. It doesn't allow me to pick up the pieces that I want from that talk. It doesn't allow me to, if I stay in that place, I can't make a connection with that person. It doesn't allow me to step outside my own worldview and go, well, sometimes we need to take action. I'm not against action. I think it's really important. It doesn't allow me to see what's really important to me. Because once I notice that play of devesha in me, it's just like, oh, it's okay. Be gentle inside myself. It's just telling me a little bit about my core values. I value stillness. I value play. I value people working together to do stuff. I value one action, many results. And as I start to see that, I could have more of a chance to see what that person was saying and actually use something of it. I think of Steve a while back with The Science of Getting Rich. You know, that one word, The Science of Getting Rich, and that, now we have the language for it, as devesha. Steve's pushing away. And in that, nothing new can be added. And Steve retains his worldview, maybe, but it doesn't allow it to open or move. It's kind of like the Flat Earth Society. For example, if Steve stayed at that place, right? Like, no, I know the Earth is flat. And yes, I see the airplane flying over because that's just an optical illusion because, you know, we're just going to replay our own world and keep creating our own worldview, and nothing gets to grow or shift or change because we're so busy pushing stuff away. Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
By the way, I reread The Science of Getting Rich and tried to do it with a much more open mind about what he was trying to say, and got past the "this isn't science" piece of me. And found some value, found some real value. Mm. So, I was, you know, maybe in anticipation of this or something else, but I reread it and it's not all hooey.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you, Steve. He now has access to, like, this man spent a lifetime, you know, Wallace Wattles, figuring out some really important stuff. And Steve wouldn't have any access to some of the good things that he has done that could impact Steve's business if there was this devesha going on in him. And that can be true of a potential client. They maybe have a different accent than us. They use a word that bugs us from our childhood. They, you know, whatever it is. Or I've given you the example, and now we can see this. I use this example for different reasons. When I was on stage, and the person who was interviewing me and in front of an audience of 100 said, "Michelle, when you did such and such a thing, tell us about that." And she'd mistaken what I did for somebody else. That's an easy moment of devasia. Like, no, don't say that. No, you should know me better than that. No, that's not right. And if I'm in that moment of pushing away, it causes me suffering. And then also probably one of the other kleshas, ego, could have easily been active. Well, that's a nice thing that you said, but since that wasn't me, it's going to harm me, that would harm her, that would harm the audience, right? So it happens in this, in these, and it would harm the audience because I'm just stuck in ego, and so I'm not being the best of me on stage. They're gonna lose out on what I know I can contribute because I'm just caught in all this stuff. And when I'm caught in all this stuff, I'm not my biggest self, and I can't contribute in the way that I usually can. So the kleshas, raga, devasia masquerading as a letting go, and that's actually pushing away and noticing the subtle levels where that happens, and so that we can actually gain control of our world. So I want to just share this piece for you, this piece with you, and then when we end the call, send you off to just watch that push and pull out in your world. And we're going to go to Mary Kay's questions before that, because we're going to get to you, see this, you know, on the court in action with some of Mary Kay's questions. So this is from a book called Comfortable with Uncertainty by Pema Chodron. I got to find out how to pronounce her last name. I've been reading her stuff for years. Not sure I'm pronouncing her last name right. So she's an American Buddhist nun. And again, I'm not a Buddhist, but some of their teachings around the mind are really, really helpful for understanding how to unplug those disempowering stories. So this is, the Buddhists have these things called slogans that teach us things. The slogan is be grateful to everyone. So she's talking about gratitude, but what it says about devasia I find really interesting. You don't have to think about any of those pieces, but just let these words drop in like rain, all right? You don't need to make anything of this. Notice I'm saying that so that you don't have any raga. Attachment. Oh no, I missed the most important thing. Now I probably won't get it. Oh, besides, I didn't like that teaching anyway. It was probably something stupid. Pull, push, can't hear anything, right? Happening at more subtle levels than we think. So she says, be grateful to everyone is about making peace with the aspects of ourselves that we've rejected. Through doing that, we also make peace with the people we dislike. More to the point, being around people we dislike can be a catalyst for making friends with ourselves. And I've taught something similar in a different context, but here I'm to the purpose of understanding how devasia works. Again, that pushing away. If we were to make a list of people we don't like, people we find obnoxious, threatening, or worthy of contempt, we would discover much about those aspects of ourselves that we can't face. If we were to come up with one word about each of the troublemakers in our lives, we would find ourselves with a list of descriptions of our own rejected qualities. We project these onto the outside world. The people who repel us unwittingly show us aspects of ourselves that we find unacceptable, which otherwise we can't see. The traditional teachings say it another way. Other people trigger the karma that we haven't worked out. They mirror us and give us the chance to befriend all of that ancient stuff that we carry around like a backpack full of granite boulders. Be grateful to everyone is a way of saying that we can learn from any situation, especially if we practice this slogan with awareness. The people and situations in our lives can remind us to catch neurosis as neurosis, to see when we've pulled the shades, locked the doors, and crawled under the covers. So the slogan that the thing she's trying to get across is about gratitude, about being grateful to everyone. But what I like is that, one of the things I like is that image of we pulled the shades, locked the door, and crawled under the covers. Kind of feels like our world sometimes right now, right? And I'm going to push all that away because that's how I keep myself safe. That's how I know that it's going to be all right. And it doesn't create safety. It doesn't create protection. It's a big part of the problem. And again, I'm not telling you to go outside your home, stay in your home. I'm not telling you about any particular actions to do. It's like what's going on inside us when we have those reactions. Another example, I just found out that my shower started leaking. And you know, normally a shower leak, whatever. It's like, oh, somebody needs to come by and fix it. Devasia in me right away. I don't want anybody in my house. Are you kidding me? That's dangerous. That's bad right now, right? And so it was impeding me solving the problem. It's in our households, it's in our businesses, because, well, the shower drip needs to be fixed, right? And then facing the fear of, oh, who's that person going to be? Well, you know, there's processes and procedures that we can put in place to make sure that there's social distancing, all that stuff, right? So pushing away, not that, and it impedes those solutions, right? So what I want you to do is just take 1 minute and just jot down one example of a place where you've noticed aphasia when you think back on your week, either in you or in somebody else. And just so that we start to have eyes for this. And then one way that you want to play with this in your week might be just, I'm going to notice when it's happening, or I'm going to look in this area of my company to see, you know, if that's happening and how I can unplug that. So just take that minute to jot that down before we go into the next segment here. Okay, if you've had a chance to address those questions, raise your hand. All right, good. Okay, yeah. And again, that's something you can complete after the call too. That's a great, great exercise. Let me see. Yeah, we're going to hold up the ahas to the end because I want to go right into, and you've had that chance just to jot that down for yourself. I want to go right into the questions that Mary Kay has posted for this week. And again, I strongly encourage you to post questions. And even in the posting of questions, there could be the play of raga and dvesha. I have to ask just the right question. What if I ask the wrong question? I have to look smart when I'm asking the question. Otherwise, people will think that I'm dumb. If I don't look smart when I ask the question, I won't get the answer that I need, and I'll lose respect, and I won't like that. Can you hit that? Oh, this is pushing and pulling, and nothing happening then, right? So it's in all parts of our lives. It pops up in lots of different places. Yoga says it means you're human. It means we're human, but how can we notice it? Because anytime that's happening, we're stuck and we're suffering. Like, let's get out of that, right? So as we come to Mary Kay's questions here, there's always multiple ways to respond to a question. It's not the only response, and you could post it again another week or post the follow-up question, and we can come to different different angles, different ways to look at that question and to find solutions, right? But today, we're playing with this raga and dvesha, and let's see what we can do with this in helping Mary Kay with these questions. So first question, Mary Kay says, how can I better structure my time when I'm erasing and replacing things within hours on my flexible time chart? So like Dr. Sarah talks about. So basically I've got blocks of time on my calendar and I'm erasing and putting stuff back in, and how can I structure my time better? She says, more time is taken up with self-care, giving support to family, friends, grocery online, and all sorts of things cropping up with little advance notice due to COVID-19. Some days there is little time for my business. So Mary Kay, I want to turn that to you. And when we shine the light of raga and dvesha, the pushing and pulling, what can you see just in the nature of your question of that, that might start us on to a solution from a firmer grounding?
Well, the part about little time for my business, I guess I could switch that around. And actually in asking the question, I did switch off of the interruption thing between the time I asked and now, and it got released. And then it opened up that I could ask my husband for some help.
So even in the asking of the question, already a solution coming up. I love that. And can you hear that our lives are often run this way in the way that she describes it? Can't you hear it? There's all these people coming at me, right? And things and stuff. In that moment, as she's describing it, it's dvesha, right? Go away.
Well, no, it wasn't go away. It was more like I can't do it all. I can't.
Right. Okay. So.
I can't.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then if there's some debate, and then it would take further investigation, right? We could dive into this further, and then Mary Kay can post it again if she wants to. But one of the things that might be that could be happening there is, the pushing sometimes comes at subtle levels, like having an image of myself as being able to take on all this stuff, and I'm tired of people seeing me as capable of doing all these things when I'm feeling kind of torn apart. So it might be that it's like, I don't like the image that people have of me, that I can do all this stuff, not like Superwoman in the bad kind of way, right? Maybe it's that. I'm not sure. It might be that. It might be something else. And so the point is that the practical solution of how we solve this problem, we want to know what's going on energetically underneath it. If it's either I'm pushing away the people or things in my life, or I have little time in my business, maybe I'm hanging on to needing to do my business today, and I could actually just let it go for today. Could be that. I don't know. That might or might not be the solution. Maybe I'm hanging on to being all things to everybody, and I need to let that go and actually be okay with disappointing somebody. Can you hear the pull of Raga and Devasia in there? One thing that my sister told me years ago in a stressful time, she knew that I was doing a lot of things. And she said, Michelle, you know what you got to do is, because there were a million things that I ought to be doing. And it was when I was working on my PhD, and I was a young mom, and my then father-in-law was dying of leukemia, so I had to go see him, and lots of things, right? So she said, Michelle, just write down just the 10 things, like only the 10 things that you really have to do. Like just those 10 things. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, I don't know, I'll get it down to 10. There's like 50,000. Okay, here they are. She said, okay, now cross off 9 of them. What? What? Letting go. Devasia, I can't do that. Some things that we think we absolutely have to do. I can't let that go. You don't understand because, and then we're fighting with ourselves. So that's the energetic place I would look to. Mary Kay, you already answered your own question, but I wanted to use this to help further that. And were there some pieces of that in you, do you think, in that question?
Yeah, just as you're talking, I just landed on another one that I sort of did, but you brought it to light, is the push I'm feeling is a lot of for self-care. And I was pushing so much that I forgot to do it.
Right. Yeah. And so I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do that. I need to do that. Raga causing suffering because I think I need to do all these things. If I don't remember the monkey hanging onto the banana and can't get it out of its paw out of the jar. And letting go of things that we don't actually think we can let go of, and letting go. Right. And sometimes Devasia about a new idea. No, I can't do that. I already tried that. Didn't work last year. Devasia. I'm just pushing that away because it's going to cause me suffering. Because this is a new context. Maybe it'll work now. Maybe it's implemented in a different way. Right. So being open to different possibilities when we're noticing that push and pull inside ourselves. All right. So I want to go to the next question. And again, always you could post a follow-up to the question if we haven't got there yet. And Mary Kay might find, you might find more resonance of it, or, well, what do I do with this one piece of something that I'm still pushing away, or whatever it is. Right. So Mary Kay says, is it sometimes appropriate to bring clients' attention to your part in their success? If so, how would you know when it's appropriate? And how would you graciously do this? I often celebrate alongside my clients, but sometimes a part of me wonders when they don't give me credit. For example, a client narrated about the value of experimentation and that she wrote a blog about it. I spent a lot of time coaching her on experimenting with her horse, which she was afraid to do when she first came to me. I couldn't tell if she realized this. And then this question is related to the next question. So I want to start again, and it's not the only way to look at these questions, but for today, the push and pull, looking at, because it's so often happening to us as human beings, way more than we think. The yogis say it's like part of the human condition, and the way to freedom is to unglue these fetters. So it's happening at subtle levels often. So Mary Kay, I'm going to turn it to you. Can you feel any kind of pushing and pulling in that might help us get to a deeper level of the what's going on, and therefore a better solution?
Well, this one kind of goes back and forth. That the it's kind of the it's not so much the push to be seen. It's just how does this relate to I guess how it relates to being seen in my business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's that's an empowering way to look at it. Like, how do I make sure there's visibility? So that's quite empowering. I would say that's that doesn't have the kleshas in it. That's great. That's a nice way to open up to this, right? And if I were looking for subtle levels of the kleshas, and Mary Kay, you're okay for approaching it this way? Is this okay for you? And yes or no is fine.
Sort of. We'll see.
Oh, okay. And is it all right if I continue then? Because we can find a different route to the answer.
And is it okay if I stop you?
For sure it is, yeah. Yeah. And even in that exchange, did you watch that, right? There could be attachments like, no, you have to let me answer this way. It causes me suffering, right? Or Mary Kay, wow, she's forcing me to have this answer. And so there was no raga and deveja there in that I could detect, right? Could you see that? It's okay either way, right? So part of what could be happening, but only Mary Kay will know if this is happening or not. But at subtle levels, one of my inner investigations, if this were happening for me, if I was looking at it through the lens of raga and deveja, is like, is there some part of me that's hanging on to the need to be seen, which is different than taking actions to be seen as an entrepreneur, which we want? Can you hear that? If I have a need to be seen, it's going to bring different results than if I just take actions to be seen so that my company can be seen. They sound, you know, like you're splitting hairs, Michelle. But let's exaggerate this for a moment. Will you allow me to do this, Mary Kay?
Okay.
That doesn't sound like a solid okay to me.
It's the same thing. Everything's going well. So yes, I'm curious what you're going to do next.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So let's say Mary Kay is in a place where she needs that client to recognize her. If there's some subtle piece of that, it's like, because maybe sometimes I don't recognize myself. I can't see myself. I don't know who I am. So I need to see that myself reflected in the eyes of that client. Then anything she takes from that grounding is going to go wonky. So I would be checking in with myself and seeing, like, is there some kind of need to be seen? Need raga to be seen in it. And then can I separate that out and not have that in play? And instead, it's like, well, can I come at it from a different angle? What would be in service to this client? And when I come from the angle of what would be in service to this client, well, then I might come from not from that place of raga deveja. She's bad if she can't see me. I need her to see me. That could be happening at subtle levels. I don't know, but it might have been. And so then instead, it's like, well, what's in service to this client? And one of the things that might be in service is when she can connect, or he, is she can connect that, hey, this teaching brought this result. She has more conscious control and is starting to learn that the teachings themselves are producing results, might be more inclined to dig into the teachings more and get even better results. So can you hear the difference between the raga deveja version of it? Like, I need her to see this. If she doesn't, things are bad. And then I'm just stuck in push and pull, can't get to an empowering solution. Instead, I come in a different door, one from service. How does this help her? And then I'm going to come up with a different level answer that has a much more chance of successfully being seen, having a successful student who actually can connect their success with the teachings and then take it further. Helpful? Did we go in a good direction, Mary Kay?
Yeah, that's really cool, because I recognize the part that I did question. I thought, what is this? Does it need to be seen? I put it aside. And then what you just said just shed more light. What you said about if she realizes the connection, she could go further into the teachings and
And it will actually serve her. So, and it connects right back with practical applications. You know, where it's like, well, service first. And so when I can get out of that pushing and pulling, I can come from a different place and find a solution that is going to help both my visibility and the client, and they get more results, and they're going to be more excited because they can make those connections, right? Because I notice the subtle level of pushing and pulling, even if it's just, for some people, it might be a gross level. With Mary Kay, my guess is that, like, at this subtle level, but it's still, you know, we're human. It happens more often than we think in most of our interactions, unless we're training ourselves to come from a different place, right? So let's go on to the next question. Last question here before we wrap up the call. Mary Kay says, I notice I like to use the words we and together, and we'll work on this together. I notice I don't like to use phrases like I can help. Can this diminish my identity as the expert? What perspective do I need to be both the expert and the person a client works together with? I'm not just the teacher, I'm the guide and facilitator. All right. So again, looked at through the eyes of Raga and Devesha. And again, I don't think it's happening at a deep level with Mary Kay. Can we go in with this one as well, Mary Kay? Okay. So, oh my goodness, if I say we, she won't see me as leader. And so I better not do that. So that would be, I don't see that in a big way happening in Mary Kay, but it could be like, I'm going to push that we away because otherwise I won't be the expert. Or if there's any need, a driving need to be the expert, then I, you know, won't use that we language and so on. And I think the answer to the question is already in the question itself, right? I'm not just the teacher. I'm the guide and facilitator, and I work together with the clients. It's like, what if I don't need pulling, right, to land on? Well, I'm always in the role of a teacher and facilitator, and it's me, or I'm, or it's we, and we're in this together. What if I don't have to have that tight a grasp on those things, but instead, contextually in the moment, there's going to be times when it's going to be, it's going to arise naturally that, hey, like, I love this, that we're all in this together. Oh yeah, I love that when you were on your horse and you did that thing that we talked about in class, remember? And I'm here using we language, but if we had talked about it in class, that it's likely that I'm leading it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm even using the we language, but there I'm being leader. So then I'm flowing in and out of those, and I don't have the need to say, I'm the teacher, or I'm beside you, because I'm hanging on to those things. I'm suffering. I let go of those things. I find a different level solution. That makes sense?
Yeah, because the holding on there was I had to be either or.
Thank you. Exactly. See, it comes in ways that we don't expect.
Yeah.
I'm hanging on. It's either going to be this one or it's going to be that one, and I can't find the solution. We hang on and push away. And when you go away this week, be playful about this. Don't be too serious about it. Because, you know, it's like, man, I got to find out everywhere it's going. I'm going to suss it out or else I'm already hanging on to something in that, right? Be playful about it, just like last week, the experimentation with it. And notice with gentleness, the way you notice thoughts when you're in Shavasana, then let them go. You'll start noticing the hanging on and the pushing away in yourself, in your ideas about your company, in the people around you. And there's a great compassion that comes from recognizing these fetters, right? Because if we think we're letting go when it's really Devesha pushing away, can't get there from there. And then when we start to see somebody beside us hanging on to an image of us that they insist that we be or whatever it is, we know that they're caught in a klesha and they're suffering right now. And so instead of pushing back, it's like, what do you mean? You think I'm always the one who should be doing the dishes? Don't you see all these kids are around and blah, 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 blah. They've put us, the Vaga attachment to us being in a particular role, and we've responded to that with Devesha pushing them away and all this ego and stuff going on and no solutions found. Instead, compassion. I watch that playing in somebody. I know they're suffering. I can come from a completely different place when I'm with my family, when I'm on a stage, when I'm in a strategy session, when I'm meeting somebody new. Somebody comes up to us and says, boy, isn't that a loud skirt you're wearing? You know, whatever it is, right? Devesha, well, I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to this person, right? But there's something of Raga or Devesha probably inside them. They're attached to making sure they look good. They don't want to look too loud. They see a loud skirt in you, they don't like it, and so they push it away all in a single second. Compassion can come up with you and you can go, yeah, that is a really loud skirt, isn't it? Thanks for noticing. And in that moment, you may have just gained a client. So, time to wrap up this call. I know we're already a couple minutes over. I think there could not be a more important series than the Letting Go series, because people might want to do that right now, but don't know how and are not noticing this play that is affects all our lives, moment to moment to moment, especially in this social distancing world. A lot of dysphagia happening, a lot of hanging on, right? So to find a different path, just noticing the play of it, be playful with it. And let's start with, let's round up this call. One aha, one inspired action. Just a reminder to keep posting your questions. So helpful, allows us to dig into the material in a much deeper way. Barb, you're up first. You're in my left corner, upper left corner. One aha, one inspired action to take this out into the world.
Well, actually, the aha came in your last statement about the loud skirt and not being offended by that, and in fact saying, yes, it is. Thanks for noticing. Sort of embracing that. I want to be able to take in what I might initially think is an insult.
Yes.
And be able to turn it into something positive.
Yes, because somebody's dysphagia often brings up our own raga or dysphagia, like they springboard on each other. And when you don't do that, it's a standout quality. Wow, what a loud skirt. Yeah, you're right, it is. Well, that's attractive. And it's not fake. It actually comes from practicing a different way of being that is at the core, the deeper, deepest version of who we are. So your inspired action, Barb.
Well, to be looking for that kind of thing, those opportunities, and to find it in myself.
Yes, yes. All of a sudden it becomes a game. It's like, oh, look, I noticed it there. Good on me, right? Oh, but then, good on me. I'm so smart. And then, there's attachment in there, and then I just notice it, and I keep on playing, right? Thank you. Awesome. Teresa, you're up.
This was a perfect call for today. Yesterday was a really sucky day. I have a client pushing to come to the barn, that her daughter needs lessons, that they pay me all this money, and I have to say sorry. So, and I was feeling that push. You know, I just was annoyed that it's been this many days and she's still trying to get me to let her come out.
Right. And so the quote natural, or it's not natural, but it's human, you know, they're attached, right? I have to come here. I have to come here. And the usual response, division. No, you don't. No, you don't. Suffering.
Right. Right. And so I've been adapting of how I can serve the family and make them feel better and ease all that we've been discussing by narrating my rides. I'm typing them up and sending them to the family about what is happening during the work.
Beautiful. Outside the box solution. When you notice and can unplug from that play of raga and dysphagia, so important for our companies. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's your inspired action then, huh? That's both a thank you. Love it. Yes. Mary Kay.
I realized I've been holding on to a special offer that I kind of set aside as being like, I need to find the right time for it.
Mm.
I'm holding on to it so much that I'll never find the right time.
Ah, raga, perfect example. This is eminently practical for our companies. Thank you for giving these beautiful examples of this. I know you're getting it. So your inspired action, I think I know, but may not be.
I'm going to go do 10 minutes of this self-care thing. I've got a whole bunch. I mean, I have like 6 different things I'm supposed to do. Well, it's only going to take like 10 minutes.
Oh, I love that. Can you hear the real letting go versus the raga, dysphagia, the ease of that, the breath? Love it. Yes. Lindsay, you're up.
Well, mine came from when we wrote down kind of things where we saw it happening this week, and just a really short story. So a nurse friend of mine was in the grocery store. She was masked, she was gloved, and the customers came up behind her, like right up behind her, and she asked them to please step back the 6 foot that's required. And they laughed at her literally to her face and said, "You are so stupid." And she looked at them and she said, this isn't for my protection, it's for yours. I am a doctor. I've been treating COVID patients all day long. I've done my part. I've showered, I've cleansed, but I had to come get groceries. I wore a mask and gloves to protect you. I'm simply trying to protect you by keeping you 6 foot back. And clearly they were like on the other side of it where they're pushing away Corona, going, it's not real. It's like this thing, whatever. And they were getting up in her space. And so for me, my inspired action is just even in moments like that to really pay attention to what my thoughts are that are making me assume that I have the answers or know what's going on. For example, I had to go to the grocery store and I didn't mask, you know, when this all started. And then I started to get a little bit of runny nose and I had to go, my business is operating. And I'm like, I took all the precautions, but I masked when I was more concerned about if this runny nose could be something. So it was like how I was protecting others more so than I was protecting myself.
Yeah.
So I think just paying more attention to what our thoughts are and what really is going on the other side that we don't know.
Yes, beautiful. The gentleness that comes and the compassion and the non just reactive response, right? So love that. And your inspired action then, what are you going to do with this? So we know it's going out into your world.
Just to pay more attention when those thoughts cross my mind. Like if the thought crosses my mind, like, you know how you were saying, like, look, they're masked and gloved up. Well, they must have something, or maybe they're really just, maybe they do. And they're trying to protect me, or instead of, because I've been one guilty of thinking like, oh my gosh, really, everybody's wearing these gloves and these masks and nobody's using them right. And so they're not really working. I mean, just those things. And then it gets in your head. So just making sure I'm paying attention to what those thoughts are.
Yeah. You're not using it right. It's probably not working. It's going to cause suffering every time. And just noticing it so that we have more energy for what it is we're meant to be doing. And we can make better decisions that belong to us. Agency. Yes. Beautiful. Thank you. Tracy, you're up.
My aha is kind of the same as my inspired action. It's pay attention to my words.
Yeah, thank you. Beautiful.
And I guess part of what I'm thinking is every time I think of my 335 customers to think, I used to say.
Yes, really so, super.
That's what my inspired action is, so.
Love it. Thank you. That one action is world changing for the ease, for the breath, for being able to do, to have clarity of thought about next action, all those things. Yes. Love it. Marla, are you in a place where you can speak? Okay. Love you guys. Fantastic questions, fantastic contributions, fantastic call. As far as I'm concerned, this is the best call on DeVasia that we have ever done because of the level that you're engaging. That allows us to go deeper and to really get at how much this is going to change our lives, our companies, our world. So thank you for being you. You are freaking awesome. Love you all. We'll see you next week. I look at the same calendar you guys do. I'm pretty sure it's next week. Same time, same place for our next step in the Letting Go series. Keep posting those questions. Keep tagging and texting me if you want me to comment on something in Facebook. Remember, you can lean in with each other there. Have a beautiful week, everybody. And looking forward to seeing you next week. Bye-bye for now.